comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, wherever you happen to be around this beautiful planet we call Earth. Welcome to talk radio like nowhere else on Earth, a place where you actually matter. We still have had no response from Mayor Jack Jingles, and for those who don't know what that's about, you can look on my website. You'll see a link in the upper right-hand corner where you can read the email that I sent to Mayor Jack Jingles, but I'm becoming concerned for his health since we've gotten no reply whatsoever. We didn't even get an acknowledgement that, I got your email and I'm not going to make any statements or anything like that. We've gotten no response whatsoever, so I'm getting very concerned about his health. I think probably the next thing that I need to do is forward that email to the city council members and ask them if Mayor Jack Jingles is okay, and if he is, then at least we know he just has chosen not to respond. I find that interesting that he wouldn't respond. It is very curious to me that he would choose not to respond to my email when apparently, based on what was on the internet, he could just meet a total stranger drifting through town in a restaurant in town and just open up and say all kinds of ridiculous things and negative things about one of his constituents to a stranger who's just passing through town. So if you can do that, then you certainly can respond to an email. So that's why I'm concerned about his health. Very concerned about it, and I think we'll probably take that next step and see if we can find out if Mayor Jack is okay. The K-Files e-zine is our free weekly newsletter, and if you have not yet subscribed, why? You don't have to answer me for that, but I mean, you ask yourself the question. Sit down and just look in a mirror and ask yourself, where's the genius in not being informed, especially when it's absolutely free to be informed? And all you have to do is just go over to my website, click on the link that says K-Files e-zine, and in 20 seconds or so you will have subscribed, and then you'll start getting it each and every week in your email, and you can unsubscribe anytime you desire to do so. In every edition there is a link for you to click if you don't want to be informed any longer. One of the emails I got this week is from a scientist that was concerned because I refer to establishment scientists sometimes and I talk about them being intellectual mudsuckers, and he says, you know, I'm a scientist and, you know, I don't think I'm an intellectual mudsucker, and, you know. So I want to clarify. I replied in an email, but I want to clarify. When I talk about intellectual mudsuckers and in reference to establishment scientists, I'm not talking about just all scientists. I'm talking about those who defend the status quo often without even looking at the data, often without even considering the data. That's who I'm talking about. And I'll be talking about some scientists this evening who are not that. We'll be back right after this. And And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We've got some interesting stuff happening in the news, as usual, and we're going to be talking about it here tonight. And I think it's very, very important news. It's not just interesting. It's important news. It may be interesting to some folks to hear about Tiger Woods and who's next on the list. But it's not important. Not to the world. It's important to his family, of course, but not to the world. What we're going to be talking about is important to the world. Not something that lamestream media has been making a great deal of, but they did report it. I'll give credit where credit's due. Back in 1996, there was a meteorite found here on Earth that was determined to be a chunk of Mars. Now, you might be asking yourself, how can they tell whether it's a chunk of Mars or not? Well, because each and every planet in the solar system has, it's like an isotope fingerprint. Each planet has isotope ratios that are different from the other planets. And so when they did tests on this chunk of stuff, this meteorite, it turned up with the isotope signature of Mars. And, of course, that's entirely possible. If Mars is struck by a large object, a large asteroid or a comet, debris goes flying into space and pieces of Mars get out into space, and sooner or later some can and have found their way to the surface of the Earth. So this particular meteorite in 1996 was determined to be from Mars. And that was pretty exciting by itself, but then scientists looking at it through very, very high-powered microscopes found what they thought, what they said to them, it looked like the fossilized remains of bacteria. And these microbial fossil remains then were hailed as proof that there had been life on Mars. Maybe there still is, they said, but this proves that there has been life on Mars. Well, then along came the scientists who said, well, now, wait a minute, you don't know, that may be something it picked up after it got to Earth. So they did a bunch of tests, and they found that, in fact, it was not something that it picked up after it got to Earth. But there was still this big argument, and the big argument was, well, maybe what we're looking at, maybe it's not fossilized remains of biology, but maybe it's something that just, it's a some sort of geologically based quirk, and so we're going to test it. Well, they've tested it, and what they've discovered, it says, although I find this very interesting, and if you go to this website that those who are watching on KSS TV, they can see the URL. It's very interesting that this is what they say. Although there is no chance for life to exist on Mars now, long ago the planet was capable of supporting life. At that time, it had mild temperatures, the proper atmosphere, and water. And my comment is, oh, really? You think that Mars has no chance of supporting life now? Now, that's from the same website where they posted the picture of this fossilized microbe. And they're explaining, okay, well, there could be a fossilized microbe, but that's in the past. There can be no life there now. Well, something took place here. And this is actually on another website. And but it talks about what NASA did with this meteorite. And what they did, according to this website, it says the NASA scientists have recently scrutinized the meteorite with advanced high-resolution electron microscopy. They found that the structures show a chemical purity much more similar to a biological rather than geological signature, and have strong resemblance to so-called magnetic bacteria on the Earth. All right, focus on that. These are NASA scientists looking at this meteorite, and they say that the structures show a chemical purity more similar to a biological rather than geological signature. Pardon me for stumbling. I lost my notes. So they found that the structures evidently are showing something that is biological rather than geological. I think that's important, don't you? Because what's happened here is that group of scientists have decided to back up and punt. They have decided that, in fact, the theories about this being geologically formed don't fit the data. That, my friends, is not an intellectual mudsucker. That is allowing the data to go wherever the data goes. And they are to be applauded for that. But the story doesn't end there. The story of evidence for life on Mars doesn't end there. Because around the same time, I forget the exact year, but 96, 97, maybe a little bit later, the European Space Agency put its satellite in orbit around Mars, and the scientists discovered methane in the upper atmosphere of Mars. And that created quite a stir, because methane is most often a result of biological processes. They also discovered ammonia, and I'll talk about both of those for just a moment. Methane can remain in the Martian atmosphere for up to 400 years. It only lasts about 400 years because of the chemical reactions that take place in the upper atmosphere of Mars, as well as its exposure to extreme ultraviolet light. So any methane that you find is no older than 400 years. Well, that was pretty exciting, and there was a lot of talk about it. Shortly thereafter, the same satellite discovered, and the same scientist announced, that they had found ammonia. Now, ammonia is also most often produced as a byproduct of biological processes. You know, we've talked about this on the show before. Those of you who either have infants in the house, or you have had, and maybe you've raised them, but you remember when an infant is wearing a diaper and the infant urinates in that diaper, which they are prone to do, and that's why they're wearing diapers. If you don't change it rather quickly, two things happen. You start smelling an ammonia smell, and there is a rash reaction on the infant's body. They call it diaper rash. Well, diaper rash is ammonia rash and uric acid rash, because the urine breaks down into ammonia and uric acid. So that's one example of how do biological processes create ammonia. And why is that important? Well, it's important because ammonia can only stay in the Martian atmosphere for about 6 hours. So if you detect ammonia in the Martian atmosphere, that ammonia was created and released into the atmosphere no longer than 6 hours previous. Now, that's exciting. Well, they haven't gotten around to doing much with the ammonia yet. I think they should. I think that's where they ought to focus, because that takes you closer to the center of all of the ripples in the water. That takes you to within 6 hours of something happening that released ammonia into the atmosphere. And I think that's where they ought to be looking. Quite naturally, science doesn't often do what makes sense to the rest of us. So they've been looking at the methane instead of the ammonia. And but anyway, I'll give credit where credit's due. They have come out, scientists have come out with, in fact, some very interesting information about this ammonia. These are scientists from the Imperial College of London, and they've released a new study that says that one of the theories that was put forth by the naysayers is blown away. Now, this theory that was put forward by the naysayers is, well, you know, that methane could have ridden in there on meteorites, and then as they burn up in the atmosphere, it releases the methane. So, here is what the Imperial College of London scientists say. They say that the new study shows that the volumes of methane that could be released by meteorites entering Mars' atmosphere are too low to maintain the current atmospheric levels of methane, or for those of you in England, methane. Previous studies have also ruled out the possibility that the methane is delivered through volcanic activity. That was another one of the theories. Well, all of this methane in the Martian atmosphere could be released, you see, by volcanic activity. Well, that's been ruled out. It's been ruled out because there are no active volcanoes on Mars. This leaves only two plausible theories to explain the presence of the methane, according to the researchers behind these findings. Either there are microorganisms living in the Martian soil that are producing methane gas as a byproduct of their metabolic processes, or methane is being produced as a byproduct of reactions between volcanic rock and water. So either way, this new study blows away years and layers of false information being fed to the public by various space agencies, including NASA. We are told that there can be no life on Mars. This new study says either there is, right now, life on Mars causing this methane. We're also told there can be no liquid water. But this study says if it's not living organisms causing it, the only other thing is liquid water. Water reacting with volcanic rock. I love it. Now, what I don't understand is why they say, now listen to this, either there are microorganisms living in the Martian soil. They're talking about right now, while I'm speaking to you, either there are these microorganisms living in the Martian soil, or it's being caused by a reaction between water and volcanic rock. What I don't understand is this. I don't understand why it has to be microorganisms. Very likely there are microorganisms, but why do we stop there? Why can we not just say either there are living things on Mars that are producing this, or it's the other option? Either way, this methane is being produced by a method that NASA has told us is not possible. Now, that is from the Imperial College London. And it's rather Mars-shaking, Earth-shaking information, and it's important information. It's important because you need to understand that Mars is not like what we've been told. It simply is not. I wrote a book about that. It's called Mars Maximum Mystery. Some of you have gotten that book, you've read that book, and you've seen that I detail. It's not just my opinions about this and opinions about that. I detail things, and I show you pictures of those things straight from NASA. And, you know, sometimes I get email from people who say, boy, that's really interesting. I still have a hard time believing. Well, I'm not asking you to believe. What I'm asking you to do is let the data say what the data says. And the data, in the case of my book, primarily, it's not all pictures, but primarily it's pictures. And then some scientific data that NASA has told us about Mars, and I show it can't be true. But the pictures say it all, in my opinion. And the point is, let the data say what the data says. It doesn't say something else. It says what it says. Right now, you're looking, for those of you who are watching on KSS-TV, you're looking at a white guy in his 50s with hardly any hair. The data, the picture tells you that. Why would you sit there and say, if you see this, why would you say, well, that's not really a 56-year-old white guy with no hair? That's really a woolly mammoth. You wouldn't, would you? But we do that exact thing when it comes to pictures from Mars or from the moon or from Venus or some other planet. That's exactly what we do. We look at the data, and then we say, well, it's not really that. It's something else over here. But guess what? It isn't. It is what it is. The data leads where the data leads. And so an intellectual mudsucker refuses to look at the data, or looks at the data and denies the data. There's something alive on Mars. We'll be back right after this. Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're talking about life on Mars, and some of the scientists are now backing up and punting. And they're saying, it's looking more like it. And I think that's a good thing. Now, we're going to move on, and then I'm going to open up the telephone lines. We'll talk about what you want to talk about this evening. But I thought you needed to know about this. This is a significant development in the scientific community, because it actually is a crack in the dam. You know, the dam of information, and, you know, all behind that dam is all of that spin and all of that nonsense we've been told. And this is a crack in that dam, a couple of really pretty good-sized cracks in that dam. So it is important information. I wanted you to know about it as quickly as I had it. Now, I got some interesting emails. I got an email today, lots of email in response to Dick Criswell being on the show last night and a couple of bombshells that he dropped on us. One of them talked about, it's sort of entitled, it's time to do some critical thinking. And then it went on and talked about some things, why Dick's stories about from last night could not be true. And it was primarily based on the assumption of what he said, that he got information, he saw information from former administration officials in the Bush 1 administration, Bush Senior. And it was assuming that Dick got that information back then. But that's not the case. He's recently seen this information, but it's from someone who was in that Bush administration. And so it was interesting, but it didn't actually, the stuff didn't actually fit because that was the assumption. It's a wrong assumption. But there was another thing that somebody asked. They said, well, what happens if it turns out that this big event that Dick Criswell says is going to happen in late 2009, early 2010, if it doesn't happen, what does that do to its credibility? And another one said, you're pretty good at skirting the truth to protect your guests. So I'm going to put those two together, and then we're going to take this call. I don't protect guests. The only time I ever step in to, quote, protect a guest is like if somebody were to call in and say, you're a flaming idiot, you're a nut, you're... Okay, that's not speaking to any of the evidence. That's a personal attack, and we don't do those. I have had a guest that did that, and I didn't allow the guest to do that to the caller. Okay, so I just don't allow those things. But if you call in and you challenge the guest's information, you've heard me. I say to the guest, okay, well, what do you say about that? The guest has to stand on his own two feet. I have never in 9 years protected a guest from you. I have protected a guest once or twice from personal attacks, and I've stopped a guest who was doing personal attacks. But as long as we stay focused on the information, the evidence, the guest, that's his information. He's the one that said it. He's got to defend it. Okay? All right, we're going to open the telephone lines, and the telephone number is 623-444-5889. Toll free in the U.S. and Canada, 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling? Hello, caller. Well, the caller has gone away. 623-444-5889 or toll free 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Aha. I think things will work better if we turn that on. All right. Caller, can you hear me? Okay. Well, apparently, we've got sort of a messed up phone system this evening, but we'll give it a shot here and see what happens. All right, let's give it a try. Caller, can you hear me? Well, we cannot hear the caller. There we go. Can you hear me now, caller?
Yes, I can. This is Mike from Kentucky.
Okay, Mike, what's on your mind?
You know, based on what you were talking about a moment ago, you know, we're started out early, and they indoctrinate us from birth, telling us that, nah, this stuff doesn't work this way. It works this way. So this Mars thing is just another, you know, brick in the wall, if you will, between the elite and us. Now, my main reason for calling, though, is Dick was talking last night about this landings, 30 landings. Well, I just happened to get an email today that said that on... 12/11/09, a couple of days ago, 3 days ago, that there was a landing or near landing of an object down in Monahan, Texas, and that these five or six people saw this object hovering maybe 4 or 5 feet off of the ground, and two little ETs got out and walked around this thing. So could this be number one?
Well, I don't know. It might be. But now, look, as a Texan, let me tell you, it's Monahans.
Okay, Monahan.
Yeah, Monahans, Texas. It's over in West Texas. Many years ago, I had a girlfriend in Monahans, Texas. Many, many years ago.
Right.
But, yeah, it's Monahans in the west side of Texas. Michael, you sent me a copy of that email. I took a look at it. very interesting case, because this UFO was seen to be sort of hovering just a couple of feet off the ground.
Right.
And then these two little beings get off of it, and they're walking around, and the witnesses saw all of this. So I don't know. Maybe this is number one out of the 30. But I was under the impression, from what Dick said, that this would be like all at once, all 30 at one time.
Well, it may be, but it may be worldwide, too.
Well, yeah. So what you're saying is maybe that's one of the 30, and that there were others worldwide we just haven't heard about yet.
That's a possibility. I don't know, but I thought it was quite interesting that he says this on the show, and then I get an email that says, boom, this thing took place.
It is interesting. It is interesting.
It didn't have legs on the ground, but it was close enough to the ground that the two EBEs could get out and walk around.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think they were doing? Just taking like a rest stop?
Well, the article says that they were picking up objects off of the ground, and they stood there and watched them for a few moments, and then four or five of the kids that had seen something go down they thought was a plane crash over in this grove came running up, and, you know, as kids do, they yelled, "What's that?" And then the aliens turned around and saw them, and they stared at them for about 7 seconds. And then they just nonchalantly turned around and went behind the craft, and then the craft took off. So, it was about 30 to 40 feet in diameter, they claimed.
Uh-huh. Did anybody get any photographs of it?
Pardon me?
Did anyone get photographs of it?
No. It does makes no mention of anybody getting photographs. And they even mentioned the fact that, well, should we go call the police? And the guy says, "Are you kidding?" You know, or something to that effect.
Yeah. Yeah. You might get a policeman sent out that is open-minded to this stuff, but more likely you're going to get one that takes the approach of, "I don't know, I don't want to know. As far as I'm concerned, it ain't happening."
Exactly. And, you know, Texas has been a sort of a hotbed for the last 10 or 12 months.
Yeah, it has. It has. Michael, I want to thank you for the call. Very interesting.
Okay. Take care, Kevin.
All right. 623-444-5889. Yeah, that is very interesting. Or toll-free in the U.S. and Canada, 888-223-4599. Now, the first number that I give out, the 623-444-5889, will work from anywhere on planet Earth. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Can you hear me this time?
Yeah, it was cockpit trouble. I moved some of the equipment around today, and I had bumped a switch.
Oh, boy. You know, we were talking, you heard you talking about Dick Criswell and some personal attacks. Do you remember Dick Criswell versus Stanton Friedman about a year and a half ago?
As a matter of fact, I do. But that's okay, because neither one of them said you're an idiot or anything like that. There weren't any attacks, personal attacks.
I also seem to remember Dan Burris and Dick Criswell going at it a little bit too. Anyway, that's not what I want to call about. You know, talking about Mars and ancient life. is there still life on Mars or in the Martian system, including its moons, Phobos and the other? I think the Phobos 2 probe kind of gave some credence to that. You know, I think that, not to mention the fact that a lot of the research that Richard Hoagland has done, his book Dark Mission, is that, and Bob Dean was right, it is a dynamite book. I think it proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that there at least has been intelligent, civilized life on that planet at one time. And of course, the evidence that you've brought forth here on the show proves that there still is some sort of life on that, let's just say, not so red planet.
Yeah, it's not so red. It's not so dead.
that's for sure. And on another note, perhaps it may be related. In fact, I've been doing a little. I've been getting into some of the research on the ancient history in correlation to these spirals that we've been seeing. And as you know, the one last week wasn't the only one that has been flying around in the skies over the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
We've been seeing a few of them, and I've been looking through some ancient history. And I pulled out my Graham Hancock books, and right from the start, I see from the Nazca lines, I see these same darn spiral shapes there. We've seen we talked about the petroglyphs that you have near your home down there in Phoenix, and I'm talking with Golden Child, and she's telling me that there are these reports of these spirals along with these ancient, I guess you can call them Anunnaki or reptilians or whatever. Are associated with these beings as if it was some sort of Stargate technology, and it's on Egyptian hieroglyphs, it's on Mayan hieroglyphs, it's on the Aztec drawings.
Mm-hmm.
You find
it's all over the world.
All over the world, and mm-hmm. they are in relation to these ancient peoples, these ancient quote unquote gods. I think it looks to me, judging by ancient history, that these people and maybe the Russians.
Kevin, we got to step away. We got a break taking over. We'll be back, folks, right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Kevin, are you still online with me?
Well, of course I am.
All right. Why do you think that this spiral in Norway has anything at all to do with Anunnaki?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's Anunnaki or not, but I see these. If they're Anunnaki, reptilians, whatever. But these are obviously in relation to these ancient stargates, and I think what these people have been trying to open up over there and above Russia is a stargate. It looks exactly, especially when you got these spirals associated with these ancient quote unquote gods and their ability to travel. I think that's exactly what we're seeing. You know, it's considering the lies and spin stories that they've been trying to feed us for the last week.
So, do you think that what's happened is that some human agency, perhaps the Russians, attempted to open a stargate?
I don't think they attempted. I think they did.
Do you think anything went through it?
Judging by the way that the spiral was in the direction, according to, of course, some of the physics, I've been looking into all these hyperdimensional physics and stuff and the physics of these...
Did anything go through it?
It seemed that something might have. It seemed like it. If it was a stargate, it opened from our end. It means it was opened on. It was open here because of the way that the end of the spiral was pointing. It was pointing downwards, which means it was open here. And I think we may there's some secret program sent elsewhere. That's what. That's just judging by the quote unquote theoretical physics.
All right. Interesting stuff. Yeah. Thanks for the call.
And folks, remember to sign up for the K-Files e-zine. It's a free weekly newsletter. It's packed full of information. Be sure to sign up for it. You can't go wrong with a free newsletter, can you?
thanks for the free promo. I appreciate it. 623-444-5889. Toll free throughout the USA and Canada, 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Well, hi, Ryan. Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan.
Hi, Kevin. This is Ryan.
yeah.
Got you.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, it's getting too close to the holidays for me.
Got you.
Well, I just wanted to pass on to you and Mike that I don't believe everything I read on the internet, but there's another story about a landing that took place in California, in Barstow, California, and I don't know if it's true or not. It might need a little bit more looking into, but there's a story on People Magazine Daily. It was also on UFO Chronicles. And I guess it needs some checking into, but apparently some people witnessed a UFO that landed on one of the major highways that was surrounded by black cars. And so I just want to pass along to you. Maybe you or Mike can check into it.
Yeah. When was this supposed to have happened?
Well, if you go to People Magazine Daily, I don't know if it's a trustworthy news site or not, but it's the lead story on that site. So just type in People Magazine Daily, and it'll come up on the first story.
Okay, but when was it supposed to have happened?
You know, I don't know. I just checked in. I just passed across it last night, and, like, I don't believe everything I read on the internet. You know, I think if they want to do it in a major scale, I think that they should land one at, like, maybe one of the NFL football games or something. So there's no doubt about it, you know.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, you got to ask yourself, why would they even be in touch with what we think is important?
That story along to you, maybe you can check into it and see what's going on with that.
All right, thanks for the call. Yeah, if we went to their planet, we wouldn't have any idea what they think is important. And so, you know, we'd just do what we do. And I think that's kind of how they are. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hello, Bob.
Hey. Yeah, the life on Mars, that is just so cool to think about. Just life in general on any other planet, you know?
Mm-hmm. Listen to this. Let me read something that I didn't read.
Sure.
This is the lead scientist. Well, he's the co-author of this study, Professor Mark Sefton, Department of Earth Science and Engineering at Imperial College London. And here's what he says. This work is a big step forward. As Sherlock Holmes said, eliminate all other factors and the one that remains must be the truth. The list of possible sources of methane gas is getting smaller, and excitingly, extraterrestrial life still remains an option. Ultimately, the final test may have to be on Mars. And what Sherlock Holmes actually said is, when you take away everything that is impossible, whatever remains, no matter how improbable, is the truth.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one interest that sparks a real interest in my mind is the fact, even if there's just like fish, you know, in some water down there or anything, you got to wonder, do they all have two eyes like us? You know, it'll tell us a lot about life in general, you know, outside of the planet. It's what do these things look like? What are their adaptations? Are there tunnels, you know, with ruins of cities where the last ancients, you know, left off? Is the life that we see there from another planet, and that's not original Martian life, as if like weeds or something had taken over another part of the planet?
Mm-hmm.
I just find it so interesting, you know. It makes me think about how where you're sitting right there. I think not exactly where you're at, but they have these underground water things under the slabs of rock, I think in the Phoenix area. Is that true, or is it
yes.
the Nevada area?
Well, it's here too.
Yeah, and they've got an endangered fish that lives down there in these, you know, under the bedrock caverns, you know, and it's like 110 degrees, and then we have all those life forms at the geothermal vents underneath the ocean that can withstand temperatures. I mean, I have no doubt if there's enough water to create methane and ammonia in those great plumes, there's enough water, obviously, for life, and, you know, it would be there, and it makes you wonder about, I believe it's Titan,
mm-hmm.
with all the ice, you know, mm-hmm. What's under there, and the geothermal activity could, you know, if there's fish or anything, it'll tell us so much more about the evolution of life outside of our planet, that it opens up a whole new interest and realm that just is like you're taking in a spaceship and you just take off, and it's just absolutely amazing. And I think it's great that you're able to get that article followed so soon, that idea about life on Mars, because it's like we've got a jump start on the science world, and now the scientists are just catching up to us, and it's almost kind of funny. We're sitting here and eating popcorn like, yeah, we told you so. So anyways, I'll leave you with that, and I thank you for the show. It's a really good show, as always, and I hope that Jerry does really well too on those days off that you'll have. You know, we wish him the best, and I'll be tuning in to so we can help him out if he needs a call or two, and I have no doubt that he'll do really good. So
I'm sure he will.
Everything, and you have a nice holiday.
All right, thanks for the call. Yeah, Jerry Wills will do well. You can bet on it. Those of you who are outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, if you don't wish to make a international long-distance call, you can, and the number works, 623-444-5889. But if you don't wish to make an international long-distance call, what you can do is send me a flash message. You can go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Scroll down, and you will find the link that says flash message. Yeah, I think this information about Mars is absolutely max headroom information. I mean, this is mind-blowing information. And the reason I say that is because, it's like Bob said, it's because the science community is just now catching up to where we've been for several years. Now, in their defense, let me say, something isn't true just because I say it's true. It's not true just because you say it's true. It does have to go through some rather rigorous testing, and in order for science to be able to say, here's what we know. Not what we think, but what we know. And what we know is that two of the theories of how that methane got there don't work. And we know that there are only two possibilities left. Caller, are you willing to hang on through the break?
You bet.
All right, you hang on. I'll be back with you after the break. And don't go away, folks. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we have a caller on hold. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, your first name, and from where are you calling?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. My first name is Ben, and I'm calling from the Hollywoods.
Okay, Ben from Hollywood, what's on your mind?
Well, I heard a lot of people talking about Mars, and I've just got through doing about 50 videos on Mars for YouTube, and I've looked at about 3,000 videos on Mars, and I can tell your viewers, or your listeners, not your viewers, I guess both.
Yeah, both.
Mars is inhabited with millions of people of all different types. Robert O'Dean recently at that Barcelona conference in Spain showed an infrared picture of one of the cities of Mars. And my wife is from Bolivia, up around, where the Punque is?
Mm-hmm.
She's up from around in there. And she said that the cities are identical to those old Amaran cities. So there's a mixture of races on Mars, and there's different levels. There's all the way from very modern people to very primitive people who live in holes in the ground. It's a very wide-ranging, but a lot of it is inside the ground.
Mm-hmm. Well, that would make it very much like Earth, then.
Now, I would say that it would appear that throughout time, from what I've seen, the 120 videos I put out under Ben A. Harris kind of shows it. Right now I'm compiling pictures of beings on the various planets, but all the planets are inhabited. Everything is inhabited. All the moons are inhabited. Everything is inhabited. There's life everywhere. But on Titan, it seems to be a very ancient, bohemian, highly cultured civilization. that seems to be a cut above. Whereas on Venus, it seems a little kind of America in the 40s. The women seem to have them old-fashioned haircuts, you know.
You've got pictures that...
everywhere.
You have everywhere pictures that show all of that?
Oh, yeah. Ben A. Harris on YouTube. I show... Well, right now, I'm compiling a video with hundreds of pictures of different kinds of creatures. And if you'd like, I can give you a description of some of the creatures that live everywhere.
Yeah, very quickly, but go ahead.
Sure. Okay, on the moon, you've got little midget humanoids about a foot tall. They live like squirrels, billions of them everywhere. You've got giants on the moon, giant humanoids, who are real stupid. On Jupiter, you've got a lot of fat people, and you've got those pinheads, those guys with the big giant bodies and the little teeny heads. You got those. A lot of Negroes on Mars. A lot of Negroes seem to be especially coming from Jupiter and its moons. There, they have gigantic Negroes as high as 20 stories tall. How do I know? I have a picture of one standing next to gigantic buildings on the northern pole of Jupiter. You can't see in the center of Jupiter very well, but on the northern poles, it's calm. You can see it looks like a rural farmland in New Mexico. I just got through doing five on Uranus. The people on Uranus look Nordic. I got about five or six pictures of the humans there. And there seems to be religion everywhere. There's crosses on all the planets, glowing buildings on Jupiter. There's glowing beings who float. Now, I'm doing remote viewing with them and remote viewing with a couple other beings that I've discovered on Mars. And Mars people are almost exactly like us.
Wow. I'm going to have to check that out. Ben A. Harris, all one word, right?
All one word, Ben A. Harris, yeah.
Okay, on YouTube. I'll check that out.
I've been an astrologer and a remote viewer for 40 years, along with a past life therapist and UFO researcher and hypnotizing people on television with telepathy and Phineas Quimby methods. So the picture is forming that at one time the whole universe was one big family.
I'll tell you, you've got my interest. I'm certainly going to check it out. Ben A. Harris on YouTube.
You deduce things. By seeing all these markers, you can deduce things.
Mm-hmm.
And what I can deduce very clearly is at one time, especially this solar system, was one big place. Everybody zipped around on UFOs from place to place. This guy, Dave Beamer, look at his videos. He's found these projection places on the planets where they projected people on light beams around so they didn't even have to use spaceships. Something happened to screw the whole thing up. And it would appear that two things happened. One, the planet Marduk blew up and shot debris everywhere. And then another thing is that there were giants because there's on Titan and Iapetus and a few other places. And I have the photos, the NASA photos, cleaned up and unfiltered, gigantic castles, like, you know, 30, 40 stories tall building, castles. So who lived in there? The Nephilim, those giants. And I got lots of pictures of Nephilim, too. They like
all right.
To wear cowboy hats. You know, it's very, very bizarre.
Okay. Wow, that's interesting. Ben, I want to thank you for the call. I have to move along, but I'm going to check that out. And, wow. But see, you never know, folks. You never know. That's why we open the phone lines. And before you say, oh, that's impossible, go take a look. I haven't taken a look, but I will. Now that I know that it's there, I will take a look. And we'll see what we see. Wow. 623-444-5889 is the main number. And 888-223-4599 is the toll-free number. Of course, if you're outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, you have the option of sending me a flash message if you so wish to do so. You just go to my website, scroll down, you'll see the link that says flash message. Well, I think, I have not seen, personally, any pictures of people on Mars. There is, of course, that one picture that looks like a statue of a woman that's sitting there. I've seen that. And I've seen photographs of faces that look very human, and I'm not talking about the famous face on Mars. I'm talking about the artwork carved into Mars, discovered, and I don't know if he discovered it, but he certainly made it famous, Dr. Tom Van Flandern. And so I've seen all of that, but I don't think I've seen any photographs of living creatures out roaming around Mars. However, in my book, Mars Maximum Mystery, there is a photograph of what Well, it's a forest, and it appears the shape of the trees appear to be pine trees. They have that shape. And you would have to figure, well, if there's a forest of these things, I wonder what else lives in the forest. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, Kev, it's Debbie from Columbus.
Well, I thought you must have fallen into a black hole somewhere. I haven't heard from you.
Yeah, I know, my friend. No, it's just been very busy at my end. There's a lot of stuff going on having to do with 2012 and stuff like that. There's a lot of things going on that I'm researching and that I'm also taking part in.
All right.
Unfortunately, I wasn't able to listen to last night's show with Dick Criswell.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to have that in the like the archives? Or
oh, sure.
We can check
sure.
it out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I definitely want to check that out.
Yeah.
Dick's always very interesting to listen to. I read, referring back to your letter about Ed Grimsley,
mm-hmm.
The mayor of Conestoga needs to pay a little less attention to Extra and Entertainment Tonight and all those stupid shows, and a little more attention to what Ed is actually doing. If you know what I mean. It's very easy for an individual, whether they're in the government or not, to poke fun at somebody or a subject that they really have no knowledge of. It's very easy for them to, and I'm saying about the mayor of Conestoga.
Yeah, it's Calistoga.
Calistoga, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I had Conestoga in my mind for some reason, right? Yeah, maybe Conestoga Wagons. But anyway.
Calistoga.
Yeah, okay. But I really think he needs to take a look at Ed's website. I think he needs to talk to those of us who have been to one of Ed's night Skywatch sessions and mm-hmm. get our spin on it and see what we have to say.
I agree. I agree, but there's one other thing he needs to do. Calistoga is where Ed lives.
Right.
So all he needs to do is get with Ed and go out and look up and see what he sees.
And, you know, and I agree with you. I think if he does that, and then if he says, well, okay, after he does that, and if he says, well, okay, that's, you know, that's missiles or whatever he wants to believe, then he's entitled to his opinion to say that because at least he's gone out and done it. But to actually say about try to ruin Ed's reputation by not even going out and taking a look at what we've seen through the night vision goggles of actually what is going on up there, I just think that's very foolish. And I can tell you for a fact, you know, if this mayor keeps doing these types of things, if he's looking to be reelected, you know, next time election time comes up for him, that's probably not going to happen.
Well, you know, I agree with you. The thing that really stood out for me is here is a stranger wandering through. He's in a restaurant. He's asking questions. The waitress says, well, I don't really know. That's the mayor. Ask him. And so here's a stranger, and the mayor seems to be willing to just sit down and chat and make comments that ridicule somebody that is one of his constituents, and he's just ridiculing to a stranger, okay, who has no business with that information. You know, I mean, it's not that it's illegal, but what business is it of this stranger? And he says things that have nothing to do at all with whether Ed is for real or not for real with this night vision stuff. And that's what was being asked about. And he just makes these statements to ridicule him. My question to the mayor is, did you make the statements? And if you did make those statements, what business is it of a stranger, and is it the practice of the mayor to talk negatively about his constituents? If it is the practice of the mayor, is this a practice approved of by the City Council of Calistoga?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I've not gotten a reply back. I I want to reply, and now I'm concerned for his health. I'm considering sending that email to the city council members and ask them, would you check into this, please? Because I'm concerned. I'm afraid the mayor may be in ill health or something because he's not replying.
Right. Well, maybe the other thing could be, too, you know, maybe he just feels that what you have to say is not worth his time or effort to reply to also.
Yeah, I thought about that, but here's what I thought about that, but here's the deal. If you can sit down in a restaurant and make these nasty remarks about one of your constituents to someone who is a total stranger in town, then I, as a stranger and who don't live in Calistoga, have a perfect right to ask you to account for what you said to this other stranger.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like you. My thing is, I'm not going to judge somebody, particularly in, like, Ed's situation, until I know for the fact that what the information that I have is valid and it's true to form. I'm mm-hmm. not going to be the type of person that's going to go up to a complete stranger and say, well, yeah, you know, Kevin Smith has this show on the internet, and yeah, it's a really lousy show. And no, I would never say anything like that, because what I would do first is check out your show, and then I would, if I didn't like the show, I would give this stranger, this person I was talking to, the reason why I didn't like the show. But I would not personally attack you, and that's basically what this mayor is doing. As you stated in the letter, he is personally attacking Ed Grimsley, and he mm-hmm. has no reason to do that.
Well, and he thinks, I know what he thinks. He thinks, oh, that's just a little internet show. But let me assure you, Mayor Jack Jingles, I have made you famous around the world, and the world is waiting to hear. Debbie, I've got to move along, but
okay,
thanks for
Kevin,
the call.
Good night.
Good to hear from you again. Yeah, look, it's very simple. If you make statements about someone and they are personal attacks, and it's based on the fact that you think they are ridiculous because they, in your terms, quote, believe in UFOs, if that's what's behind it, expect the Kevin Smith Show to knock on your door. Expect us to ask for an accounting from you. And I do not believe in allowing people, especially people in government, to ruin the lives of citizens over the topic of UFOs. The most famous scientists on this planet have said it's unreasonable to think that we're alone in the universe. But it's also unreasonable to keep reelecting these jackasses. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Stefan from Quebec City, Kevin.
Hi, Stefan. I was hoping that you were Mayor Jack Jingles.
Oh, boy. No, I wouldn't say anything against Ed, but I am going to say something in regards to Ed. What does that have to say about the... if these 30 spaceships are coming in, are they being allowed to come in by the defense system that's out there, or are they slipping through? And if they're slipping through, then it can't really be that effective, can it?
Yeah, I would think that whatever we have built is going to be inadequate to stop extraterrestrials from coming here if they want to come here.
Yeah. The other question is, in regards to Mars, is it true that Mars in Egypt, in ancient Egyptian, means Cairo?
You know what? I've heard that, and all I can tell you is that I have heard that. I can't verify that that's what it means. I don't know. But I have heard that.
Huh. Well, great show, Kevin.
Thanks for the call.
Yep.
Yeah, I have heard that ancient Egyptian, their name for the planet that we call Mars was Cairo. But I don't know that. Anybody that happens to speak ancient Egyptian, if you can verify that for us, give us a call and let us know. The whole idea that there is life on other planets, I don't understand why that would be amazing to anybody. I think it would be more amazing if there were not life. I think that would be more amazing. Look, you have to ask yourself this question. Now, I don't buy Darwin's theory of evolution. And I don't buy it because the fossil record simply does not support it. But, now some of you think that's wrong, you think it does, but no, it doesn't. There are no trans-species fossils. Out of the millions of fossils, there are no trans-species, where one species became another. There are no trans-species fossils. So I don't buy the theory. But the majority of scientists do. Now, if Darwin's theory of evolution is true, then it would be operational throughout the universe. And things would evolve, living things would evolve on other planets based upon the context that they are in. Living things would evolve based upon the chemicals and gases and so forth and nutrients that exist there. So if that theory of evolution is true, there's no possibility of planets being barren of life. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Heidi and I'm calling from Victoria, British Columbia.
Hello, Heidi.
Hello, how are you today?
Good. What's on your mind?
Yes, you were talking about UFOs, and have you heard of James Gilliland?
I have had Mr. Gilliland on this show.
Yes, well, I've been down to his ranch twice.
Uh-huh.
And it was quite amazing what we saw.
Uh-huh. Did you see some UFOs?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I've seen two different types. I've actually seen three different types, but the two that I've actually seen that were quite different were at James's ranch. One was more like a metallic type ship, and the other one was more like light energy.
Mm-hmm.
Quite unusual.
How big were they?
I beg your pardon?
How big were they?
They were huge. They were huge. I mean, I don't know how high up it was. You know, when you're in the dark at night and the stars seem very close, you know, I'd say they were above the trees and they were quite large, but I would say, you know, a few thousand feet.
Mm-hmm.
Enough that you would notice them.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that what happens is when the jets start chasing them, they just kind of blink out. And the minute the jet's gone by, they come back in.
Mm-hmm.
And they maneuver they're quite unusual. And what, you know, at first you might think it's a satellite. As they come closer, they get much larger. And we had four happen this July that came in, just incredible. And it's like they're rainbows almost, but they have a tendency to certain different colors.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just remarkable. The second thing I want to mention to you is I have been very interested in this spiral in Norway, and I went through a lot of pictures and videos, and I came across a video that I found quite very unusual, and it gives you a shot of the spiral from a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
And what it looks like from the video is that long stream of blue that goes across the sky. And it stops, and there seems to be this round black whatever. It could be a wormhole. It looks like a black ball. And then a few seconds later, from that black ball comes out very quickly, and from the other end looks like a spinning a spiral.
Hmm. Can you send me the link to that video?
Yes, I can. I mean, I can. Yes, I can, actually.
Yeah, if you'll send me the link to that video, I would love to see that.
Sure, no problem. I might be able to take it and download it and send the file to to you because I did download it myself.
Okay, that'll work too. Yeah, just attach the file. And it doesn't matter.
Okay, and is there a place I can hear? Where can I send it to?
Yeah, just send it to host@kevinsmithshow.com.
Okay.
In the subject line, put suggestion. And that'll increase your chances of getting through the spam filters. Or you can just use our contact page, and that will definitely get you through the spam filters.
Oh, okay. The contact page, like...
Yeah, just click on contact, and you can attach a file.
Okay, no problem. I can do that for you.
Okay, thanks much.
You're welcome.
All right, thanks for the call. Yeah, the spiral in Norway. You know, one of the things that's happening, the lamestream media has gotten into the act now, and they're trying to defend the idea that it was a missile. And one of our listeners over in Germany sent me a link to a German page. It's written in German, and that's one of the languages I don't read and I don't speak. However, he wanted me to take a look at the picture, which is an artist's conception of the spiral in Norway. Now, if you remember, the actual photographs we saw, the blue light was coming from narrow to wide, and in the artist's conception, it went from narrow in the circle to wide on the ground. It's exactly backwards. Caller, are you willing to hang on through the break?
Yes.
All right, hang in there, and I'll be back with you in just a moment. Don't go away, folks. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We have a caller on hold, so let's go straight back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and where are you calling from?
Yes, hi. My name is Mike from Monticello, New York.
Okay, Mike. Reach around and turn the volume down on your radio or computer.
Okay. Okay, yeah. I have two questions. Like, have you heard anything about the MUFON report of a very large mothership or planetary structure 20 miles long coming in 18 degrees from Neptune? And do you believe that that large Hadron Collider could possibly be opening up these spiral wormholes?
Okay, the first question, I have not heard about that. If you have a link to it, then go to my contact page and then select suggestion and send me the link. I'd like to take a look at that. The Large Hadron Collider. Could it possibly be doing that? Well, I would say, yeah, it probably can do that. Now, whether it has done it, I don't know. But with that much power, I would say that sort of thing could be possible.
Okay.
Yeah. And in fact, there are people who think that maybe that was the real origin of the spiral above Norway, because they turned that Large Hadron Collider on December 6th, and it was on through December 10th, with this phenomena happening on December 9th. So could it be the origin of the spiral? Well, possibly. But we have some information that it was Russia doing some testing of a Tesla weapon. But I think it's possible. Mike, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right. 623-444-5889 is the number to call if you have a question or comment. If you need to call me on the toll-free line in the USA and Canada, the toll-free number is 888-223-4599. The Large Hadron Collider... the people involved with that keep poo-pooing the idea that it's anything but vanilla ice cream. It is the largest such beast on the planet. It is the most powerful such beast on the planet. And it absolutely flies in the face of being rational to believe that it has been disclosed to us what all its capabilities are. That isn't rational. It's just not rational to believe that we've been told all of the truth about what its capabilities are. The same with HARP. That's the largest radio transmitter on the planet. It's not the only one of its kind, but it's the largest and the most powerful. We know some of the things it can do, but it is beyond reason to believe that we've been told everything about what it can do. And so could the Large Hadron Collider cause the opening of these dimensional portals or wormholes? I guess it's possible. When all of the facts are not on the table, all speculation is valid. And until the government types decide to put all the facts on the table, they're going to have to live with the fact that speculation is going to be made, and all speculation is valid until they decide to tell all the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help them God. And I don't think that's likely to happen. Not in my lifetime. The one thing that I have only seen twice in my life was a politician telling the truth. I have seen that twice. It's rare. It's more rare than diamonds, more rare than opals, rubies, emeralds. It's more rare than anything in the universe. But I have seen a politician tell the truth twice. I don't think we're going to see any mass outpouring of truth from the political types. Not in my lifetime. I don't think so. Is it possible that there is life not only on Mars, but on Venus? All the objections that we hear to why there cannot be life on Mars, why there cannot be life on Venus, all of that, and on the other planets, it's all predicated upon buying into what we've been told about the surface conditions and about the requirements for life. And maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm 1,000,000% wrong about Mars. But I believe if you read my book, you'll come away from it saying, by golly, we have not been told all the truth about Mars. And the surface conditions on Mars simply cannot be what we've been told. And I show you the proof of that in the book. I show you NASA's own proof that they haven't been telling us the truth. If that's the case about Mars, why would we then suspect they would tell us the truth about the surface conditions anywhere else? Furthermore, we keep hearing scientists say, conditions on Mars are not conducive to life as we know it. Okay. And? I'm willing to accept that the conditions on Mars are tough. I think there's ample proof of that. Not conducive to life as we know it? Well, first, what does that mean? It's not conducive to human life? Yeah, I can buy that. Not conducive to life as we know it? Well, you know, there's no oxygen there. Hogwash. There is oxygen there. And there's a lot of oxygen there. Listen to this.
What we have found, in fact, is something like 15 times as much oxygen in that atmosphere as we can account for from known sources.
Dr. Harold Klein, scientist on the NASA Mars Viking mission. Did you catch what he said? 15 times more oxygen. Not 15% more. 15 times more oxygen in that atmosphere than we can account for. Now we know there's methane, and we know there's ammonia, and we know that it's not coming from meteorites or volcanoes. And that only leaves two possibilities. Extraterrestrial life that is producing methane due to its metabolic processes, or water interacting with volcanic lava, the dried volcanic rocks. Two things we've been told cannot exist on Mars. And now the scientists are saying it's got to be one of those two. It may be both of those two, though. The point is, that story, without coming out and saying NASA hasn't been telling you the truth, that story coming out of Imperial College London, that story is telling you that what NASA's been telling us about Mars ain't so. They say it's impossible for life to live there. Then they backed off and said, well, life as we know it could not live there. Nonsense. There's life right here on this planet, on planet Earth. There's life right here that will die if you expose it to oxygen. And that lives right here on this planet. So even if there's no oxygen on Mars, which there is, life could exist there. It does here. It exists here in environments without oxygen. It could exist there. It could exist on Venus. It could exist on Mercury. Are you aware of the fact that most people think Mercury is the hottest planet we have? It's not. If what they tell us is true, Venus is the hottest planet we've got. It's the hottest place in the solar system. It gets up to about 980 degrees Fahrenheit. A little warm. Is it possible that there could be life in an environment like that? In an environment where the surface pressure is something like 1,000 times more than here on Earth? Why, absolutely. You have life existing right at the mouth of volcanic vents in the ocean floor where the temperatures are superheated and where the pressure from the water is 1,000 times more than what we have out here on the surface. And there's life living down there. There are creatures moving around down there. There are colonies of things growing down there. It exists here. Why would you think it couldn't exist somewhere else? That makes no sense. Makes no sense. Science is not, real science is not about intellectual mudsucking. Real science is about discovery. Real science looks at things and says, well, I don't know, let's check this out. Is it possible that this thing could be? Is it possible that thing could be? I don't know, let's check it out, let's experiment. That's real science. And then the results are recorded, and if it looks positive, it's put up for peer review, and that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. Intellectual mudsucking, however, starts out with life can't exist elsewhere because it's too hot, too dry, too much water, too much pressure, not enough water, yada, 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 yada. That's intellectual mudsucking. And that's stupid. So this story that I have referred to here tonight is especially important. Especially important because here you've got scientists that are not intellectual mudsuckers. Real scientists. And they're saying the theory that that the methane on Mars rode in on a meteor doesn't work. It doesn't work. Won't work. The theory that it's caused from volcanoes doesn't work. The data doesn't fit. And that leaves us with a possibility of two possibilities. The possibility that the methane is being produced by biological processes, or it's being produced by water interacting with volcanic rock. There used to be volcanoes on Mars, so there's volcanic rock. Now, either way, whether it's biology or whether it's water interacting with volcanic rock, it blows the cover that NASA has had on Mars. Either way. The lid is coming off the can of worms, folks, and we'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Why is it important, or is it important, whether or not there's life on Mars, whether or not there's life on Venus or the other planets or the moons, the various moons that are scattered throughout our solar system? Why is that important? Well, it's very, very important in order for us to have a proper understanding of who we are and what our place in the universe is. There were tremendous miscalculations made by my ancestors and by the ancestors of many of you listening who were living in Europe at the time of the discoveries being made in the New World. Tremendous, horrendous things were done in terms of disrupting our understanding of history and our understanding of who we are. Let me give you an example. The Spanish explorers that went into South America absolutely obliterated civilizations that were as advanced and modern and powerful as the Roman civilization, empires as large. They obliterated the written language, forced the native peoples who were not primitive, who were as advanced and maybe more advanced in some areas than the Roman civilization and Roman Empire had been, forced them into a mindset of servitude. So that today we're spending lots of time and lots of money to dig up the remains of those civilizations and trying to relearn what was lost. The Mayan civilization had an understanding of astronomy as advanced as at least the early 20th century. The Sumerians understood about our solar system and about all the planets, and all those planets were not, quote, discovered by Europeans and descendants of Europeans, which I am, partly. I'm also part Native American. But we're not even discovered until 1930. And 5,000 years ago, there were people that knew about it. So we're just now beginning to climb over the rim and out of the hole of dark ages that we've been in. We're just beginning to do that right now. It's and in that hole of darkness, we have developed this very homoterracentric view of the universe, meaning we view the universe from the perspective that somehow we are supreme. So we decide, okay, there can't be life on that planet because, and there can't be life on that planet because, and we give all these reasons, but all of those reasons, every one of them is homoterracentric. It's all revolving around us and revolving around our planet. All the reasons stem from us and our planet. And in fact, we may discover, as we reach out across the solar system and eventually the universe, we may discover that not only is there life everywhere out there, we may discover that life that drinks water, is based on carbon, and breathes oxygen is the exception rather than the rule. It may be us that's the odd duck. And here we are beating our chest and thinking it's all got to be like us or it's not life. We may be the ugly duckling here. We may be the exception to the rule. And that may be why extraterrestrial races are interested in coming here. It may be because we are so odd from their point of view. They travel around the universe and they see life in all its forms, and they just think it's so odd that there's these creatures down here on Earth. They drink water. They're made mostly of water and carbon molecules, and they breathe oxygen of all things. Can you imagine that? They breathe oxygen. And, you know, maybe that's why they come here, because it's just hard for them to understand how something like us could exist. Meanwhile, here we stand on the surface of this blue marble, beating our chest and saying, well, I don't know if there's life out there. I can't, I don't think there's much chance that there's life out there. The conditions are just not right. And all that life out there may be looking at us and saying, we just can't believe there's life over there on that little planet. Wow, that's weird. So, understanding whether there's life on other planets and knowing whether there's life on other planets, whether it's intelligent or not, is important. It's important to us if we're going to grow, if we're going to have a better understanding of our place in the universe. It may turn out that we are the supreme mental intellects in the universe. I doubt it. But if it does turn out that way, okay. How do you know till you go check? How do you know until you examine and explore? I think when this is all over, I will by that time be long dead. But I think when it's all said and done, we're going to discover that there's life throughout the universe, lots of it, that it exists just about everywhere. If what the scientists say is true, and what they say is, well, life happens, you know? That's their explanation for how evolution got started. All right, if that's true, if it's true on this planet, it's got to be true on other planets. Because we have life living on this planet that's not like us, that doesn't require oxygen, it doesn't require sunlight, it doesn't require water. If you expose it to those things, it dies. So if that happened here on this planet, under the conditions where that stuff lives, it could happen on other planets that have similar conditions. So if life happens, then it happens. And look, let me tell you something. If life happens, it happens within the context of its locale. So if you have a place where the atmosphere is mainly methane, then if life happens, it's going to be a life that breathes or uses methane like we use oxygen. Is such a thing possible? You better believe it is. If you sit down tonight and take a big bowl of crude oil and a big spoon and you start eating that, it will kill you. But there are life forms that live on that. There are life forms that eat oil. They eat petroleum. They thrive on it. I think life's everywhere. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. And you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.